I want to tell you about another missions trip. In the late 1990s, after the fall of communism, there was a missions trip to Russia that illustrates in some ways both the wonder and the mystery of prayer. The team that went, again, so this is the mid to late 90s, the team that went was commissioned to take stones, building stones, from a Russian gulag. Gulag, gulag, however you want to say it, which was a forced labor camp, most prominent during the 1920s to the 1950s in Russia, under Stalin, used in horrific ways to force people into terrible labor and extreme circumstances. Not a place you wanted to be. But this team was commissioned to take stones from part of a building of one of these gulags, and they were taking them and repurposing them in building the foundation of a church. So there's some significance even in that right there. But several days into the excavation and the reclaiming these stones, they found a canister inside of the foundation of one of these buildings with a note on it. They took that note to their hosting pastor, and he wept as he read the words. It says, the note said, "We are a community of believers being forced to take the stones of our church and use them to build our own prison. We pray one day God will hear us and use these stones to build a church again." Amen. Isn't prayer a wonderful thing? God doesn't often hear in the ways we think he should. This was probably 50 to 60 years later. The Father never forgets a prayer. There's profound wonder and beauty in prayer. Perhaps it's best described in what Teresa of Avila once said, "For prayer is nothing else than being on terms of friendship with God." If we think about the beauty and the wonder of prayer, is that we actually enter into God's very presence, his conversation, communing and fellowshipping with the one who hung the stars into place. And he answers prayer. Prayer is also a wonder in that through prayer, God invites us to partner with him in bringing his kingdom on earth. Jesus, when he arrived, said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." In prayer, we enter into the work that God is already doing on the earth. The Bible describes Satan as the prince of this world, the ruler of the air, the deceiver, what Nathan described as one who deceived Adam and Eve. This is the one who the Bible says is the ruler of this world down here for this time. Through prayer, God invites us into his work of redemption. He invites us into the work of bringing the kingdom of God close enough that we can touch it. The kingdom of God at hand is a picture of the kingdom of God so close that we experience it. Prayer is both a wonder, but that's only part of the story. Prayer is also, as wonderful as it is, prayer is also a mystery. I remember when we started attending Alliance Church in Elizabethtown, right after we were married, 2009. We started attending right before we got married. September, we started attending, and we got married in October. But when we started attending, there was a man there by the name of Eric Brown, who was going through, I believe it was pancreatic cancer at the time. And I remember we prayed and prayed and prayed with all I could tell was great faith and expectancy that God was going to heal him. I can still remember him standing on stage, giving updates to his condition, how he was doing through the treatment. I can still picture his face and his son, two sons he left behind, and his wife he left behind. After some months, Eric passed away. The raw reality of prayer is that for as many answered prayers as we have many more ones that, to our knowledge, in our perspective, in our time, have not been answered. For every experience of healing through prayer, there are many more who don't experience the healing on this side of eternity. For every experience of being heard by God, there is a vast number more times where we feel like God doesn't hear us. Prayer is a mystery. It's a mystery because in prayer we interact with a God who doesn't respond the way we think he should. Prayer is a mystery because we seemingly come to God in great faith while he seemingly remains unresponsive to us. Unanswered prayer is a mystery to us. We are sometimes left with more questions than answers. Prayer is both a wonder to behold and a mystery that one day I think we will have answers to. Prayer is both a wonder and a mystery at once. Well, this past week, we were on a journey of prayer together. Last week you should have gotten a prayer guide that just was hopefully just designed to get you into a rhythm of prayer on a more routine basis. So I just wonder, where have you experienced difficulty in prayer? I just described, I hope, gave voice to some of the struggles we have in prayer. One of the reflection questions from this past week was this very question. Where have you experienced difficulty? Where have you experienced resistance in your own prayer times? What seeks to steal away your attention from prayer? And in the same breath, we can ask, in what ways, where have you experienced God's nearness in prayer? I was going to open it up for people to share, but in light of time, I'm just going to allow you to reflect on that on your own. If you haven't yet done that, just reflect on those places where prayer is difficult. Where's the resistance from? And where have you experienced God's nearness in prayer? Last week we talked about four stages of prayer. And this is not something that's directly taken from Scripture. This is more of a way of thinking of prayer that helps us to kind of categorize, kind of make sense of some of the different ways we experience prayer. Before we get into that, would you pray along with me as I pray and ask God's Spirit to be with us today? God, we thank you that your Spirit is already with us. We simply want to acknowledge, God, that we are ready for more of your Spirit. We want to hear from you in these next moments. Father, through the power and the mystery and the wonder of prayer, God, it is at once both discouraging and exciting, both an adventure and a mystery. God, would you help us, as we trust in you as our Heavenly Father, would you help us to grow in intimacy with you through this grace of prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come. We need you for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we began talking about the four stages of prayer last week. Talking to God, talking with God, listening to God, and being with God. We talked about a little bit last week what talking to God looks like. This might be the way we first pray when we are a younger follower, a younger follower in the faith of Jesus. This looks like the prayers of others being a good starting place for us to get some vocabulary and get some language for prayer. So I have a bunch of resources on the back table for you all. There's one sheet of paper that's titled Talking to God, and it just lists different prayers. Prayers from Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, Saint Francis, a couple others, Augustine. Just as a way to start you praying. If you haven't yet found a routine rhythm in prayer, it's just a way to pray what some people have just beautifully written down and scripted out, heart language that sometimes we just can't find on our own. So there's also some scriptural examples there. The Psalms, basically a book of prayer to God. Begin there. There's also a couple other prayers listed. Daniel chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 1, some in Ephesians, one in Colossians. There's a number of prayers from Scripture and from others that you can read there. If you're wanting a little variety in your prayer life, those prayers are there for you. Anybody is welcome to take one of those. And again, we don't go really beyond this. We can always find value and joy and goodness in praying the prayers of Scripture especially, but even those who have gone before us. Something we constantly come back to. Even as we mature in our prayer life, we can constantly come back to the prayers of others who have gone before. So there's many examples there. You can grab one on your way out. But today I want to talk a little bit more about the second stage of prayer, which is more when we begin to get beyond the words of others and we allow our own selves to open up. Our own feelings, our own emotions, our own struggles, our own joys to come through in our prayers. So we said prayer is a relationship, is the means by which we enter into relationship with others. Prayer is a conversation with God. So naturally the conversation flows through many different things as we share our heart with our Heavenly Father, who we just read about in Matthew 6 in Faith and Action, knows our needs, desires to be the one to care for us, talking with God is entering into a deeper place of relationship with God. Paul in Philippians 4, 6 and 7 said, "The Lord is at hand." You probably know this. I'm sure you know this. This might have been the one Chuck was referring to earlier. "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." I'm sure if I went around and asked, I'm sure you all have a different story, a different testimony from this particular passage about the peace of God ruling in your heart. We've all had times where we've experienced that peace, and we probably have all had times where we have prayed for that peace and haven't experienced it. But this is what talking with God is all about. We enter into a place where it's no longer the anxieties of somebody else or the struggles or dreams of somebody else, but it's ours. And we can give language to those sorts of prayers through a variety of different ways. So these are some of the ways we can begin to pray with God. We can pray prayers of gratitude, lament, petition, intercession, confession. This is not an exhaustive list. This is just but a few ways we can pray with God. Prayers of gratitude is often some of the way some of us start out our day, giving thanks to the Lord. It's a great way to end the day, to write down or just reflect in your own mind two or three or however many things come to mind about the way we've seen God's goodness in our lives that day. This is often where Scripture and biblical truth begins to like play out in our lives. When we actually take time to see the way God is showing up in our day. God, I thank you for the way the weather held out for us yesterday in having our community fun day. Beautiful day to be outside. I'm thankful for the way the weather held out this past week when we went to put in a septic system, that the ground was actually dry for the first time, probably all summer, that they could actually do this kind of work. By giving prayer to our gratitudes, we acknowledge the ways God is at work in our day-to-day living, day-to-day routine and activities. In lament, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a minute, with discouragement and disappointment and pain, we can also come to our Heavenly Father. Petition, give us this day our daily bread. God cares for what our needs are. We just sang two songs about this, about petition, supplication, asking the Father, who knows what we need but still invites us into relationship with Him. He invites each and every one of us, each and every one of you, into active, living, breathing communication with a Heavenly Father who we cannot see, but whom we experience through prayer. That's amazing. We think about the moon. I've thought about the moon the last couple mornings. It's been wonderful taking a walk when you can actually see where you're going. And it's been bright and full and beautiful. The sunrises have been wonderful the last couple mornings. This is the one who did all this, who created sunrises for His glory to be displayed, but for also for us to experience His love. What if a sunrise was a call to enter into relationship and conversation with your Father? What if He gave us two every day, saying, "Come, you see the sun, it's a picture of my faithfulness. Come, experience my faithfulness personally. A sunrise and a sunset might be an invitation into prayer. Intercession is the prayer, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more quickly. Intercession is the prayer we pray on behalf of others. And this is beautiful. This is something that is near to God's heart as we think of Jesus being one who ever intercedes for us as his people. And confession is the prayer we pray when we feel we have trusted in something else other than our Father, whether it's our own wisdom and understanding, whether we're pursuing, coveting other things, we are able to bring that to God. So again, prayer is conversation. Prayer flows through every one of these all at once, all in the same conversation. You might experience all five of these beautiful ways of expressing ourselves to our Father. You might be stuck in a season where you've experienced just one of these. Maybe you're in a season of lament, where you can identify with the psalmist in Psalms chapter 10, verse 1, where he says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" So prayers of lament are found all throughout Scripture. Some say as many as two-thirds of the Psalms are composed or comprise or include some prayer of lament in them. So, I don't know why the church has gotten to the place where we think we can't express those things before God, but clearly it's all throughout Scripture, people bringing hard emotions and difficult circumstances, crying out. David says, "You have kept my tears in a bottle. You have kept count of my tossings in my bed." God is not afraid of those emotions. God is the very creator of those emotions. God invites us to come to them in those emotions. We have a whole book of laments. Lamentations is a book often ascribed to Jeremiah, though we don't know for sure, but often ascribed to Jeremiah. That's full of laments, hence the name Lamentations. Just as an example, chapter 3, verses 1, he says, "I am the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. He has turned his hand against me again and again, but all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and surrounded me. He has buried me in a dark place." God is not afraid of those emotions. There is an intimacy to be experienced with the Father through those emotions. Got to speed up here. Sorry. Romans 8:22-27 speaks of maybe the deepest type of lament, when we don't even have words to put to our prayers anymore. It says the Spirit intercedes for us. When we groan, it says creation, and it says we groan inwardly, eagerly awaiting the adoption as sons. All of us here are eagerly awaiting the future salvation where Jesus will come back and take us all with him. We groan inwardly at the difficulties and frailties and frustrations of life in those moments. But the beautiful part is the Holy Spirit translates that in a way that God can understand it. That God's will is done in our lives through our groans, because the Holy Spirit is able to translate that into God's heart language. God understands our groans. As I was praying about this week, I felt led to ask someone to pray, to pray and write a prayer of lament for the congregation. So I had asked Ruth. I'm going to ask her to come up here, maybe to the to the podium here again, Robin. She has prepared a prayer of lament that she's going to lead us through now. I invite you just to listen to her words and pray along with her.
When I first read the email, I thought, Gerald, you opened a can of worms. I have many laments. But God taught me that prayer of lament, is a prayer mostly of tears, and it's a surrender to God and a trust of God. And a lot of my prayers are whipping myself into shape rather than surrendering to the divine Father. So I learned a lot about prayer this week, just trying to write a prayer of lament. So pray with me. Oh God, we cry out to you from the depths of our being. Just as the deer longs for water, so our soul longs for you, O God. We are tired. We're distracted by daily work, family responsibilities. We long for the calmness of your refreshing presence. O Lord God, you're the rock of our faith. Do not be deaf to our prayers. Hear our requests for mercy. We beg for forgiveness for those times our busyness has blinded us from seeing our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers' needs, or we simply just did not reach out to offer a hand. We beg for your loving, gentle reminders to remember to care. God, we are desperate for your love in those places where love has grown cold. We beg you, be in our heart, our mind, increase our capacity to love. Do you see our tears as we beg for your salvation, for our friends, for our families? Do you hear the anguished prayers of the mothers and fathers as they pray for their children? How long, Lord God, will you hide your face from us? How long must we wrestle with deceitful, self-preoccupied thoughts? Search our hearts, cleanse our thoughts and intents. Lord, we beg you, bind the enemy from any place in our minds and actions. Our hearts palpate with the desire for your truth. We long for your righteousness. Hear our prayers of remorse and forgive us. We need you as our guide to be attended to those who feel forgotten, unseen, the lonely, the homeless. We beg you, Lord God, be our compass. Hear our cries for your Holy Spirit to occupy our mind, heart, and soul. Lord God, these days we hear so much suffering. So we so need your wisdom. There are conflicts of wars, devastation, floods, fires around us. The pain and loss are incomprehensible. Nations and people are rocked with war and violence. Hatred reigns. Mothers and fathers separated from children. Children left homeless and starving. Families killed, children killed, parents killed. Lord God, just too much pain, too much violence. We so desperately need you. Lord, hear our prayer for peace. Lord, be our peace. Hear our heart cry for comfort for those who have lost homes, family, and loved ones. We beg you, Lord, fill us with your wisdom, with your peace. And right now, we come home and we remember the losses that we have experienced. And I've just listed a few. Paul, Bob, Florence, Alice, Betty, Sarah, Shirley, Lynn, Marvin, Gary, Shaheen, and you have your own losses and pain. So this will be a time for you to bring your lament before the Lord. So I will mention it and then pause for you to pray. So maybe you lost a loved one. Bring your lament to the Lord. Maybe you are praying for a family member with an illness. Maybe you are a caregiver for a loved one. Maybe you are praying for the salvation of a friend, a family member, a loved one. Lord, hear our requests for your comfort. Oh God, we cry out to you from the depths. Have mercy on us. Grant us the peace of Christ and transform us by your Holy Spirit to follow in Christ-like service to our friends, our neighbors, and the world. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. If you are wondering how you might begin to pray through a prayer of lament, one of the forms on the back, one of the papers on the back table there has a process that will help you walk through processing your own emotions and feelings and how God might be speaking to you through them. It'll walk you through 6 or 7 steps. You can also grab that on your way out with some other material back there. My heart is really to help you, give you tools that will help you go to a deeper, more intimate, more trusting place with our Father. That is my heart in this. And we're not going to get to all that I had planned for this morning, but that's okay. I will cover some of it next week. We'll talk about intercession more next week. My goal, again, is just to encourage you to hold up prayer, this gift of grace that we have from God, and say, go, enter into it. Between this road of mystery and this road of wonder is this intersection called risk and adventure. It's a risk to enter into prayers of lament and intercession and petition. It's a risk to pray for the health, well-being, salvation, goodness, blessing of somebody else. But in that risk is something profoundly beautiful, something you can't experience else. When you enter into the very heart of God, you will be forever changed. So I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes to find that time, to find that place where you can be with our Father. It's the best place to be. Let's pray. Father, we all have things we are grieving. We all have things we are joyful about. Things that are hard, things that are going well. The mystery of prayer is that you bend down to hear us. When Jesus said, I know that my Father hears me, I think that's something we can experience as well. Maybe not always in the same way that we think we should. But God avails himself to us in prayer in a way that is remarkable. Father, encourage our hearts today as we consider the invitation to enter into your very heart. We thank you for Jesus. who it says in Hebrews 7, he's a high priest that continues forever. All the old high priests died and they couldn't continue in office. Jesus continues forever. So he is a high priest that is able to save to the uttermost. He is ever living to intercede for us. God, that is beautiful. God, would you help us to enter into that relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? We pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Make us more aware of your presence in our minute-to-minute, day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.